Welcome back, everyone, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's what I promote, amicable divorces. I thought we should have a little fun today while we learned. So this episode is about famous people, celebrity issues, and or unusual relationship issues that I found in the news. You know, I love celebrities. I've always worked in the entertainment industry prior to family law. I've booked many celebrity acts and non-celebrity acts. So the reason why I love celebrities so much is because to be a celebrity, if you're in the music industry or acting, entertainment industry at large, you generally have to be really good at what you do. And so I always respect people's talent and hard work. I also know from being in the industry that you have to have a lot of courage to go on stage and to perform. And I think that level of courage is very enticing to me, and I love it. So anytime I see something in the news that has to do with celebrities and their relationships, my ears perk up, especially now since I'm in the divorce business. So the first article that caught my eye the other day was an issue between Phil Collins and his third ex-wife, Orion Sevi. And I just forgive me if I'm saying these names wrong. Obviously not Phil Collins, but the third ex-wife, Orion Sevi. Well, first of all, let me start by saying that it's a 40 to 50% ratio of people getting divorced in their first marriages. It literally goes up to 75% of the people in their third marriages end up getting divorced, which I kind of think is weird because one would think that the more you get married, the better you would be at it. And the more you get married, that's your commitment to being a relationship-oriented person. Apparently not so. Apparently the numbers are not in our favor. Okay, so here's what I read. So Phil and Orion get divorced a few years ago. And they're living on Star Island in Miami, hugely exclusive place. About 4 years after the divorce, they got back together again, and she's living in the house with him on Star Island. So here's the history check I read on Yahoo. The legendary musician, 69, Phil Collins, and Sevi, 46, nice age difference, love that, went through a protracted, horrific divorce after an almost 10-year marriage. The two split in 2008. Okay, this is 2020. And after the former Genesis frontman shelled out a record $46.7 million to her, in 2016, they managed to patch things up. And this is really cool, for the sake of their sons, Nicholas 19 and Matthew 15. Okay, well, Nicholas 19, I don't know if this was 19 when they patched up or 19 now, but it doesn't really matter what age your children are. They still get really upset over the divorce. So back to the article, things seemed pretty peachy for the reconciled couple for a while, despite a few health setbacks. Together, they ran the Little Dreams Foundation in South Florida, and Sevi ran her jewelry store, OC Jewelry, for Orion Sevi, in the Design District, Miami. Fast track to the current year from hell, 2020. Sevi apparently eloped to Las Vegas back in August to get hitched to a rando named Thomas Bates, who was just 31, the UK Mirrors reports. Okay, so Sevi was 46, to Phil Collins is 69, and now Sevi's new husband, Thomas Bates, is 31 to her 46, or is she older now? I don't know. Collins reportedly got wind of the nuptials. how, I don't know, but there is social media and people talk, and is attempting to toss Seve from the lavish digs that in the Air Tonight singer, God, that was such a cool tune back in the 80s, There's Something in the Air Tonight, bought for $33 million in June of 2015. Per the Daily Mail, the Swiss native was still there as of Friday, Seve, and recently posted videos of one-on-one boxing sessions poolside with trainer Kevin Cunningham. Her Instagram account has since been set to private, never a good sign for a public figure. Seve's lawyer, Frank Meister, told the Miami Herald that they had no comment about the case. We will deal with Mr. Collins in the courthouse, not the gossip column. Okay, lots going on here. Not the least of which is, A, I don't know Florida law. I just know behavior. So, cool that they got back together for the sake of their sons. Huge marks for that. So uncool if Orion, got married without telling Phil and then returned back to the Star Island home, which this article kind of indicates she did. Well, what is Phil to do? What is a drummer rocker to do when his ex-wife, who's been living with him for the sake of the kids, has now remarried and comes back home to live? But so where's the husband? Where's the new husband? Where is Thomas? Where's Thomas Bates at? So as the amicable divorce expert, and let's just go to amicable expert, period, you still have these two kids. So it still goes back to, you have to co-parent these children, even though one of them may not be a minor anymore and the other may still be a minor. You still have these children in your lives. People do outlandish things. I mean, if I could tell you the stories, the real life stories that walk through this house, it would knock your socks off. I am in astonishment that people make the decisions that they make. It literally an astonishment. So, but you still have these kids. Okay. A, should she still be living there? Okay, that's up for Phil. That's up to Phil to say, not me. Phil says no. How do you get her out of the house? Does this become a landlord-tenant issue now? Which it may. Who knows? Does Florida have common law marriage? I don't know that either, but that's something I would check. If they came to me for mediation, I would A, have to check Florida law. Do they have common law marriage? If they do, how many years constitutes common law? So one question would be, have they reestablished a parental and marital relationship? Well, have they reestablished a marital relationship by living together again? And then how does that dictate, if the answer is yes, how does that dictate moving forward? But the fact that she remarried, I guess that ends the common law, right? That ends the common law. And what is she planning to do? So this article doesn't talk about, well, what are the future plans? Where is Thomas Bates living? So in order to help them, I would really have her talk first and just have her explain her situation, why she chose to marry somebody. Did Phil know she was dating? Was this supposed to be an open relationship where they could both date, but living together for the sake of the kids, maybe until the younger was out of high school? You know, there's a lot going on here that you need to ask questions of. And then I would ask Orion, well, what do you plan on doing? Do you want to live with your husband? Was that a fluke that you got married? Are you planning on divorcing? Why didn't Phil know if he didn't know? So there's a lot to deal with in order to get them back to the place that is the only place to be, and that is, how do you continue to co-parent? That's where I would go as the amicable mediator in this. How do you plan on co-parenting? How do you show your children modeled behavior that is positive, that is healthy, that's responsible, and that doesn't rock, no pun intended, Phil, doesn't rock everybody's world? Because that's where this sits as far as I'm concerned. It sits with the co-parenting. Yes, if this broke Phil's heart, he will have to deal with it. Therapy, self-awareness. So yes, he has a lot on his plate personally, but he still has to be engaged as a co-parent. And so that's where I would go with both of them in terms of how to have the healthiest relationship moving forward for their children, since that's why they live together after the divorce, for their children. Okay, now, in other celebrity news, there is a co-host of an early morning radio drive show in Los Angeles, although they are syndicated out in several other cities and maybe another country or two. And the topic came up as one of the bits on the show, is this a divorceable offense? Something that his wife did. Is this a divorceable offense? So, of course, I listened to the bit to see if they came to me and asked for my help as an amicable divorce expert or an amicable communication expert, because it, within all of this, the skills of communication and reality come into play. So here was the potentially divorceable offense. So the morning talk show host and his wife had a ritual of watching Netflix shows together. And he, at least, really enjoyed that. He enjoyed his time with her. So they planned on binge watching something. They planned the night, had dinner, were going to watch it. And obviously, when you're on an early morning show, you have to go to bed early. So I'm assuming this was an early dinner and an early time frame to watch. And then he would go to bed, get up the next day, unless it was over the weekend. So if it was over the weekend, obviously, time frames are different. So anyway, but here's the point. She, when they had their time together, wasn't really engaged. She was on her phone. She was communicating with other people. And then when he called her attention to that, said, well, I did watch some of these episodes on my own. Ooh, hurtful. Divorceable? Not yet. Hurtful? Absolutely. And something that you have to communicate about. So in order to not rush to divorce, because even as the amicable divorce expert, I don't want you to rush to divorce unless it's absolutely necessary. And then if it's absolutely necessary, like domestic violence, never had sex. I've had two couples that never had sex. Believe it or not, 18-year marriages never had sex. So it depends on what the condition of the relationship is, but this isn't a good sign. And so the question becomes, is this a standalone event? Was this the only time this happened, or has this happened before? A, not engaged in the activity, knowing this is what your spouse loves and thinks you love it too, and B, the fact that you watched episodes on your own kind of violated that little sacred code that people have when they have experiences that are theirs and they wait for them and they plan for them and they set them up so that they're really enjoyable. Definitely something to talk about, because the question I would have asked had I been patched into the show would be, how do you know your wife isn't thinking about divorce? I mean, it's a horrible, scary question to pose. But when you have somebody that's detached like that, either they're not satisfied with the relationship or they lack empathy skills. They don't understand that what they're doing is hurtful to their partner. They don't care, maybe. There's something going on and it has to be addressed. So before you go to divorceable offense, it is a relationship issue. And it has to be addressed so that if you don't really need to get divorced, you won't. But if you let this go undealt with, guaranteed you're going to end up either in a couples counseling office, which is not bad. Maybe they need it right now. Or you're going to land in somebody's office like mine. And I will take care of you if you land in my office. I'll make sure if you have children that we talk about communication skills, forgiveness, and co-parenting the best you can. But I thought that was a really interesting bit based on something that obviously was very hurtful. And I'm so sorry, early morning talk show host, that this actually happened to you. I really am sorry that it happened. Okay, let's go to a celebrity couple that I don't know, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher the celebrity actress's name, and I'm so sorry if I do. But I was reading this on Yahoo News the other day. So Melissa Benoit, who is apparently an actress on, is it Supergirl? Okay, there's so much content out there on so many delivery platforms that nobody can be expected to know everything. So yes, she's an actress on Supergirl. I at least got that right. And her boyfriend, not husband, Blake Jenner, obviously was physically, mentally, and emotionally abusive to her. So there was an apology in the trades the other day. He was apologizing to her for the abuse. I guess it happened a while ago, but he's now getting to the point of being able to apologize. But he did indicate that even though he was wrong and he must apologize, she was a bit of a perpetrator too. So here are my questions about this relationship. Great that the perpetrator apologized. So great that Blake Jenner apologized and he's going to get help. Excellent. So he took responsibility for his actions. When you take responsibility for your actions, you're not supposed to say, but you brought it on, except for what if they did? What if the other person actually did bring it on? So in the world of relationships, heterosexual relationships, I have, not that one person's more at fault than another. It's just these communication skills. It's just the way we deal with injustice. It's just the way that we pick at our partners that really does advance sometimes behavior out of our partners that's not good behavior. Now, maybe Blank has anger issues. So the first thing I would ask is, what was your childhood like? Did you grow up in a volatile, emotionally, physically, mentally volatile home? Did you learn physical abuse? Did you learn rage? Because if that's what he learned, okay, he has to unlearn it. And then Melissa can maybe process him in a different way. Not that it's good. No, it doesn't absolve you. It's something that has to change, that behavior, that abusive behavior. But at least she can maybe lessen up on the blame if she's blaming. It's easy to blame. And then at some point, forgiveness. She has to release herself from any anxiety. She has to release herself from the hurt by forgiveness. That's her release. That's her get out of emotional jail free card, is forgiveness. So I would ask, if they came here and wanted to do a mediation so that they could amicably leave the relationship, I would say, well, first of all, was your entire relationship filled with volatility and jealousy as the article stated? And if so, why? And this is an opportunity, because this is my philosophy, this volatile relationship can be an opportunity to figure out a few things. A, why did you both stay in a relationship that had this level of jealousy and volatility? How long was this relationship? And when Melissa first experienced physical abuse, I mean, we tend to take mental and emotional abuse for a while because it takes us a while to figure out what's going on. Those of us who are on the receiving end of it, it just takes a little while. But when it becomes physical, that's when we all need to walk now. That's the deal breaker. Physical is the deal breaker. And so I would then ask, how long was the physical abuse going on? And why, Melissa, did you accept it? Not to make her wrong for accepting it, but for her own self-awareness. Did she come from a home where there was physical abuse? Because people tend to choose relationships that they're familiar with from the way they were raised. Maybe they both came from abusive relationships, familial relationships, and ended up choosing partners that were familiar to them. And so they need to be aware of this pattern so that they don't choose again a volatile person who's going to abuse them. And did the abuse really come from both ends? Talk about that. And let Blake talk about, well, how he felt he was triggered so that she could either digest this in a way that made her see maybe her behavior was, maybe it was her tone of voice, maybe it was always making him feel belittled, even though she may not have intended to, you know, was her career bigger than his career? This is very tough. When a woman's career is bigger than the man's career, it is a very difficult situation for a man to accept. And when couples come through the door here at Divorce Resource and the woman out-earns the man, or even if the woman has inherited so much wealth, the man feels belittled. Those are relationships that typically can't last. Culturally, it doesn't work. Men do need to feel like they're on top financially and professionally. And maybe men have great jobs and they love their jobs, but their jobs will never make the kind of money that their wives have inherited, or maybe the kind of money their wives make because of the wives' chosen professions. It's just a tough situation to work within. Was that part of it? You know, you want to make people aware that these situations typically aren't survivable so that they don't blame themselves, each of them, so they don't blame themselves. And Melissa has made no comments on this. But naturally, her fans are siding with her. Well, okay, fans, that's good. You know, give her a lot of love. But you really do have to dig deeper. The fans can't even play the blame game. You know, that's not a good thing for the fans to weigh in like that. You really do need a lot more information. All right, now, the last two are not celebrity, but they were in the news and they do happen to people. So the next one is about a co-parenting situation where the couple is already divorced and they have a minor child who stays with each parent. The mother has apparently taken up with somebody who is a vegan. And she wants the son to be vegan. Well, I think we all know what vegan is, right? True vegan, it's not about being a vegetarian. It's about you can eat no products that come from an animal whatsoever. Butter, eggs, can't have any of that. So there's alternate kinds of butter. And actually, in Los Angeles, there's phenomenal vegan restaurants and killer vegan cookbooks. And there's combinations of food that give you protein, but not everybody wants to do that. Now, my sister, when she got divorced, put her three kids on a vegetarian diet. They revolted like crazy. So this is a tough thing for a mom to do. What do? When you want to go on a different type of eating program, and the eating program is actually quite good, can you really insist that your children go on that same program? Well, the ex-husband says no. He says the boyfriend is kind of a hippie and he's a vegan. So now he's they're imprinting this on the son. Okay, so if this couple came to me, now that they're in the news and getting a little bit of celebrity status, if they came to me, I would say, well, is it even possible to show your child two different diets? To introduce your child to a vegan diet, if it's a well-balanced diet and isn't filled with carbs and fat, and his regular animal protein diet. Is that possible? Because a lot of people are now going back and forth between vegetarianism and meat or pescatarianism, only fish, as their protein, not land animals. So there's a lot to talk about, and this does become an issue, by the way, when there are different styles of parenting and one of them becomes diet. It is discussed and in my office and other mediators, and it is put in the settlement agreements. But this is the question I would pose. Is there a middle ground on this? Can you say to your son, well, look, when you're with daddy, you can eat daddy's food. And when you're with mom, be open to mom's food and see if there are things that you enjoy more than others that mom can have for you. And then the question to mom would be, are you a good vegan cook? Do you go to vegan restaurants? Where do you shop? And do you listen to your son's food choices within the vegan community of foods? And that's how you get to an amicable situation where you try and see if there can be a balance. And maybe the child can learn things. That's not such a horrible thing. Like some people naturally just simply don't like meat. The sight of it makes them nauseous and the taste of it isn't good. I have friends like that. So they were just natural vegetarians. And if their parents weren't, they just ate around the meat. That's what they did. So instead of making this an issue that has to be an either or issue, make it an issue that's awakening and creates awareness so that as the child gets older, child has choices. And that's what you would be presenting. So you would be taking a negative and turning it into a positive. And that's how you get to amicable. All right. Lastly, on our relationships in the news. Again, they're now celebrities because they were in the news. So this is about a man who has both a wife and a girlfriend and is buying them both gifts. And the jewelry store clerk is the one that blew the whistle on the husband. So here's the article. When a cheating husband went to the jewelry store to buy a gift for both his wife and his girlfriend, the clerk helping him decided to expose him in the best way possible. On October 3rd, that clerk, Zoe Rowe, posted a video to TikTok explaining how she alerted the man's wife and girlfriend to his antics. So, she said, I work at a jewelry store, and today a man came in looking for a gift for his wife and their 10-year anniversary. He ended up picking out a piece that said, my beautiful wife, and I said, anything else for you today? The customer then said, no, that's it for her, and asked Roe if she could help him make a purchase using a separate credit card and on a different account. Roe helped the man pick out a gift for his girlfriend, with whom he was evidently celebrating a one-year anniversary. Once all of the gifts were picked out, Roe boxed everything up and put the gifts in their respective bags. Quote, he had me mark a K for Kristen on the bottom of the wife's bag and an L for Lara on the bottom of his girlfriend's bag. There was just one issue. Roe accidentally, quote unquote, mixed the bags up. Quote, I just remembered that his wife's name is Lara and his girlfriend's name is Kristen. I must have mixed up the bags. Oops, Roe said with a smirk. Roe's video, which now has more than 1.8 million likes, and nearly 20,000 comments, has received plenty of supportive comments from fellow females who think she did the right thing. Okay, again, we rush to judgment. We really don't know what's going on in this relationship. What if he and his wife don't have a conjugal relationship anymore? And this is his only way of having a conjugal relationship. What if? I'm just posing what ifs. As a mediator, I have learned not to rush to judgment. When we rush to judgment, we could really be hurting and destroying people unnecessarily. Now, maybe he's a dirty dog, I don't know. But if the wife and he, and maybe even the girlfriend, if all three of them came to my office so that I could help them work out the situation, and maybe even the store clerk, what if the store clerk created a situation that ruined everybody's life? What if that? I mean, this is where social media may not be the best option for exposing people, because you can really ruin people's lives. I mean, comments on Yelp have ruined people. I mean, I just think we take license that we should never, ever, ever take. I think that's a horrible thing that people do without knowing the backstory. So as the amicable divorce expert, in my mediations, the backstory is so unbelievably important, because you really need to know where people come from, why they are then engaged in the behavior in which they're engaged, and where does each person want to go with this. So as comical as this appears to be on the outside, I would love to know what the result for these poor people are. You know, maybe the poor wife, maybe this is grounds for divorce. Maybe this isn't the only time this has happened. Maybe this has been a repeat behavior pattern from the soon-to-be ex, I ask, husband. Or maybe this is an opportunity for the wife and the husband to reevaluate their relationship. And if they really want to stay together, and if she really wants it to be a monogamous relationship, maybe there are things they need to deal with, or maybe there aren't things they need to deal with and he just can't be monogamous. And then that would be the wife's option. Do I want to live in a relationship that is not monogamous? Some people do. Or do I need and require monogamy? So that's where I would go with the discussion, not to blame, but to figure out why, for them to figure out why and discuss it and see if they can't come forward with a game plan. Now, what if they have minor children? How are we ruining the kids' lives? You know, that wasn't discussed at all. Are there minor children in this relationship? So there's so much in play when anybody outside of a relationship exposes impropriety, or what they assume to be as impropriety in the relationship. It's really a tough call. So I'm not all that comfortable with what, is it Zoe Rowe did? But let's use this as an opportunity to reevaluate the relationship and see where they go from here. So anyway, I hope this was helpful to any of you going through similar situations. You have been listening to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host, amicable divorce expert. I encourage you to subscribe to this podcast if you don't already, and to engage other people to subscribe as well. You can reach me at my email, Judy, J-U-D-Y, at constructiveuncoupling.com, Judy at constructiveuncoupling.com. If you want to give me some topic ideas for the upcoming shows, or if you would like to reach me if you live in Southern California for divorce issues, divorceresourceinc.com is my website, divorceresourceinc.com. Thank you so much, and I look forward to next week.